You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
You know, I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
Good afternoon and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway on Fan Run Radio. Beautiful Friday afternoon in East Tennessee. Russell Smith punching the time clock, getting ready for a big football weekend here. Trey and Bear with me. Drew Nicholson back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, taking your phone calls this afternoon at 865-546-8200. Bear, good afternoon. How are you, sir? I do not have the bear.
Well, I'm here, Russell. How are you, man?
Feeling pretty good, Russ. Sorry, Trey. I forgot I was on mute. Feeling pretty good, my man.
Excellent. Outstanding. Trey, good afternoon. Hope you're well.
Yeah, buddy. Doing pretty darn good, man. It's... We're on a Friday, and I got an off weekend here, so looking to recharge the batteries and just watch some other football besides Tennessee. So, yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah, I mean, last year, the one off week of the season, I had a wedding that I had to attend. Actually, my brother, of all people, was getting married, so I did not get the off week. Looking forward very much to hanging out around the house, watching games tomorrow, so that's going to be a lot of fun. We are live this afternoon. One of our favorite places, Old Ben Franklin Motors, Halloween Eve. We've got your Mitsubishis here this afternoon at Old Ben Franklin Motors at the Old Ben Franklin Motors price, which is, of course, $8,000 off of addendum. They've got the colors and options you want out here this afternoon. So stop by and see us. We're at 9711 Kingston Pike. I'm going to be here till 6 p.m. getting you ready for a big Halloween weekend. And as always here at Old Ben, they own the bank. They're going to get you financed. No matter what your credit history looks like, they're going to work with you. So come on down or just call them at 693-9315. You go online to oldbenfranklinmotors.com. You can shop the inventory right there from the comfort of your home. But come on down and take a test drive. Nothing scary about the prices this weekend at Old Ben. It's all a treat. So come on down. We've got the Mirage. We've got the Outlander. We've got the Eclipse. And they were just telling me right before we came on the air about the all-new Mitsubishi Outlander Hybrid. Yes, the hybrid, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking 74 miles per gallon. Unbelievable. And stay tuned. I'm going to tell you the pricing discounts they have on this. It'll absolutely make your head spin. You can come and check it out right here, 9711 Old Ben Franklin Motors. We're across from the Chop House and Franklin Square. Gentlemen, let's start with the great job that was done by our Drew Nicholson last night, yesterday on FanRunRadio.com. Jeremy Pruitt by the numbers, 30 games in, and he is 15-15, split right down the middle. And it's not so great when you look at it from the outside, but you consider Butch Jones was 14-16. Derek Dooley was what, Drew? Was he 14-16 as well?
He was 14-16 as well.
Okay, so I don't know exactly what to make out of that, and there's all sorts of extenuating circumstances, who they took over for, the Georgia getting so much better in the last 4 years, obviously something that Butch and Dooley did not have to contend with. But really interesting, and Drew did a great job of laying out the numbers, particularly against the rival opponents, Georgia, Alabama, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and Florida, the teams we play every single year. Pruitt, in those games so far through 30 games, and he's played those teams 13 times, 3-10. Butch Jones was 3-8. His first 30 games, Derek Dooley was 3-9. So all three of these guys with three wins against those teams. Average losses. Now, here's where it starts to look bad for Jeremy Pruitt. Average losses against the big three. And Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Philip Fulmer said this is the measuring stick, right? These are the three teams by which a Tennessee football coach is judged. Pruitt, when he faces those three teams, here's the average point differential. Against Georgia, the Bulldogs have won by an average of 26 points first three games. Against Alabama, the Tide has won by an average of 30 points the first three games. Now, he's only played Florida twice. Gators have won those two games by an average of 28. And we'll have a huge opportunity at the end of the year to make some headway in that regard. But Tennessee has lost by an average of 28 points when facing the big three so far under Jeremy Pruitt. Under Butch Jones, Bear, I know you have not read this yet, so what do you think?
What,
Butch
Drew Nicholson's
Jones
article?
Yeah.
I absolutely have.
Okay.
This was my intern.
What was Butch Jones's average loss against those big three opponents?
Oh, gosh, it was like 7, wasn't it?
It was 9.
It was incredibly 9. Like, I knew it was under 10 points. I mean, I'm not going to be able to recite those numbers back to you exactly. But it stands out when you consider that comparing to Pruitt, we get shellacked.
Absolutely spanked. Derek Dooley, by the way, lost an average loss of 20. So worse than Butch, but not as bad as Pruitt so far. And then finally, and Trey, I want your thoughts on this, the recruiting rankings. First three classes, Pruitt's averaged ranked 15th nationally. This is according to 24/7 Sports, 15th nationally, 7th in the SEC, compared to Butch Jones ranking 12th nationally, 6th in the SEC. Derek Dooley, 13th nationally, 6th in the SEC. Those numbers not looking very good for Jeremy Pruitt, Trey.
Yeah, it's a weird dynamic when it comes to how the recruiting is set up. And it's interesting, as Drew broke down those numbers, man, it kind of threw me off, I'm going to be honest with you. I think we have to factor in that first year with Jeremy Pruitt, and then we look at, you know, do we count the first year as like year zero, as a lot of people like to do it during the Butch Jones administration, or do we say, okay, you know, that year two is when he really got started when it comes to recruiting, so maybe we should look at that and see what kind of stars we were getting then. I agree that it's an interesting stat. I just wonder, you know, when the guy only had maybe a month and a half to really put, maybe even a month to put together a class, how much stock do you put in year one compared to when he can try to get things going? And I'll add this too, and I've talked to multiple people about this at Tennessee. When Jeremy Pruitt got in there, their 21 board and 22 board was absolutely atrocious. They had to tear the whole thing up and start over again. So I would say that, you know, to me personally, I would look at the numbers that he's done last year and this year compared to what he did in that first year.
Yeah, that may be. And we'll see if he signs another good class this year. And there's some interesting rumblings on the Ty Simpson front that he might be thinking about reclassifying into this year's class. That would be a huge game changer. Tennessee were able to sign him and add him for next year's team, potentially. But you go back and look at that first class that Pruitt signed. You look at some of the guys that he turned away that were committed here or close to committing here that he turned away. And then you look at some of the guys that he ended up bringing in late on his own or with Tyson Helton and the first staff when he got here. And a lot of misses in that first class. Again, this goes back to yesterday. Do you give him the benefit of the doubt? Do we just accept that there is a learning curve there with all things when it comes to a young head coach in his first head coaching job in the SEC in a rebuild? It is tough. yeah. It is hard. There is going to be growing pains there, and you have to figure that into the equation.
Well, also, Russ, is that you can't – look, Jeremy Pruitt was recruiting certain guys while he was at Alabama, you know, and then you turn that around and you kind of think as well, okay, he brings in a – and I don't remember – maybe you can help me out here. I'm trying to go back. My brain is all mushy. But, you know, his first three or four hires as an assistant coach is they got him here, got him on the road, and tried to salvage whatever they could out of that first class. But I just think personally, you know, looking at the time that he came in and the time that he had, how many players in that first class were players that Butch was going after as well? You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah, very, very interesting stuff. Food for thought today. We're going to have a full look at the Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Craigner Group. When we continue here in just a moment, I'm going to tell you more about these Mitsubishi Outlander hybrids as well. We're live today at Old Ben Franklin Motors in West Knoxville. The sun is shining. It's a beautiful day. If not a little chilly, fall definitely in the air this afternoon. We'll take a quick break. Back with more. The Drive continues right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
All right, we're back here on The Drive. The Rocky Top Report brought to you as always by Bo Craigner and the Craigner Group. BoKnowsHouses.com. Bo Craigner and the Craigner Group. They do real estate the right way. Tennessee off today and tomorrow. They'll be back at it Sunday getting ready for Arkansas. Interesting scheduling twist. All the SEC teams have Tuesday completely off to go vote in the election next week. So Tennessee will be practicing on Sunday to get a head start there. Trey, anything of note from the practice field yesterday?
Yeah, they were moving some guys around a little bit. I was told Tyus Fields had a good day in the secondary. Aaron Beasley intercepted a couple passes yesterday. I don't know if that's good or bad. They are really putting in Pat Garland to that inside linebacker spot, working him to death over there, trying to get some depth at that position. And I was told that Spraggins, Harrison Bailey, and Brandon Johnson had themselves a nice day. It is to note that most of the players, I don't want to say most, maybe that's the wrong word, a good chunk of the players either got on airplanes last night or got in their cars last night and they are back home. Just to name a few, Jerome Garvin's back in the mid-state. Eric Gray's back in Memphis. Couple players are back down in Florida. So they're kind of spread out. The guys that did go home, they'll have to go home and they'll have to report back by Sunday night, Sunday afternoon for COVID testing and then practice on Sunday, which I don't know if that's a good idea or not. They would practice the same day that they test, but is what it is.
I guess we'll be keeping an eye on that situation. One thing to note, a little recruiting note tonight, we have a lot of high school football games going on around the region. You can watch one tonight on ESPN2. Cody Brown, his game is going to be televised. The four-star running back from Parkview High School in Lilburn, Georgia. And everybody says, oh, we need bigger back. You know, Gray and Chandler aren't big enough. Well, Cody Brown, 5'10", 220, four-star back from Lilburn, Georgia. He's playing against Grayson tonight. And this is the school that produced Wanye Morris, wow. Owen Papo, yeah, and a couple of others a couple of years ago. So they are going to be playing on ESPN 2 tonight at 6 p.m. They play in the 7A classification of Georgia football. So there you have it, your Rocky Top Report brought to you by Bo Craigner and the Craigner Group. Folks, if you're thinking about moving this year, the best way to get started is with a quick phone call to the Craigner Group. My guy, Bo Craigner, and his team come over to your house. They'll take a look around. They can do this via Skype or Zoom too, if you'd rather do it that way, FaceTime, whatever. They'll tell you exactly what you need to do before you list your home so that you can get it sold quickly and move on to your new home. It's quick, It's easy, and best of all, it's free. That's right, free. The consultation does not cost a dime. So what are you waiting for? Call the Kregner Group today at 865-742-1035. That's 742-1035. Or just go online to BoKnowsHouses.com to set up your free consultation. Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group doing real estate the right way. As the other big news rocking the college football landscape last night was Trevor Lawrence of Clemson out this week for their game against Boston College, as he has tested positive for COVID, and there is some discrepancy, I guess, between of as far as when exactly he could come back. And right now it's up in the air as to whether or not he could miss their next game. Now, I think most of us think Clemson could probably handle Boston College without Trevor Lawrence, but next week they play Notre Dame, another top-10 unbeaten team. So that could be a much different story for Clemson. Trey, what are you hearing? What's the earliest he could come back?
Well, I don't know. We were going over this last night, me, you, and Baron Drew, and, you know, he practiced on Wednesday, but he got tested on Wednesday as well. So I don't know if they got the reports back last night. I mean, I'm sorry, Wednesday night or Thursday morning. I don't know. But not an ideal situation where you have to wait that mandated 10 days from the CDC to come back and be able to play.
Yeah, difficult situation for them, obviously. 865-546-8200 is your number if you want to get on the G3 Help Me hotline. 546-8200. Coming up here at the bottom of the hour, going to be joined by our friend Chad Withrow, 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. We'll get his thoughts on those Jeremy Pruitt numbers we threw at you in the opening segment. And we'll also get his thoughts on Titans and whether or not they can rebound after their first loss of the season, and a difficult game coming up against Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals on the road, but a game that the Titans certainly are expected to win.
I just saw, I don't know if you guys had seen this, apparently the Bengals are going to be without three of their starting offensive linemen. Their left tackle, their center, and let me find it. I'm sorry. I think it was somebody on the other side. But they're missing three starting linemen. But it's not like they've been doing a really good job of keeping poor Joe Burrow on his feet this year so far. So maybe it won't be that big of a loss.
No, that could be a feast for Titans pass rushers. A chance for them to get better. And of course, what are the big games tomorrow?
Joe Mixon's also
LSU
out.
And Auburn, the 3:30 CBS game.
Yeah, I think we talked about last year. This is one of my favorite weekends during football season because it's stress and anxiety-free college football, and Tennessee's not playing. You can just sit back and just enjoy it completely without worrying about, you know, whether or not we're going to get housed by somebody again.
Yeah, it's nice when you don't have to worry about taking the L for sure. David on Twitter says, can't give Pruitt the benefit of the doubt because he stayed at Bama for a month that he didn't have to. Normally, I would.
Bingo.
Wow. Talk about holding a grudge, man.
Dang it. Goodness.
I forgot all about that.
Well, I mean, I hold it against him. I'm not going to lie. I do. He put himself behind the eight ball that first year. He was more loyal to Alabama than the school that was going to make him an instant millionaire.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
Lane
fine. I've kind of gotten
thing.
Over it, but I
Lane
guess maybe I haven't. I agree
thing,
with David on Twitter.
Got fired in between the two playoff games. Kirby did the same thing. Kirby stayed through a national championship game, and so I think that was the model he was trying. I feel like that's kind of a pile-on job right there.
I mean, Russ, that model doesn't really – I mean, it's comparing apples to oranges. You could have no coaching staff at Georgia, and they still have the top 10 recruiting class in the country just because they're in Athens and, you know, high school football mecca down there in Georgia. You know, Georgia wasn't on the skids. Mark Richt had just gotten into the 8, 9, sometimes 10-win seasons, and they were just kind of sorry. Kind of where we were at in 2008 with Fulmer.
Wait, so
he needed to get up.
So the worse off you are, the more urgent it is. Isn't it a matter of principle? You stay to finish the job or you don't?
No. Not in the mercenary world of college football.
Okay.
Well, you do what Lane Kiffin did. You get your ass to work for your new school.
Well, hold on. You just said that it's one thing for Georgia because of their situation, different thing because we were so bad off. How much, you know, how bad off do you have to be before the coach can stay at his old job versus you're in such a dire straits that he has to leave immediately? I feel like this is a very difficult area to pinpoint.
I don't feel like it is, Russell. We had a fan revolt, and you know, we were burning down. Our new coach needed to get in here and get to work on making sure all the fires are completely out and putting together a recruiting class for that early signing day.
Okay, so...
Hanging out and doing your Alabama thing.
Okay, so just so I'm hearing you correctly, one last question here. So Georgia in 2016, I believe, 2015... Richt's last year, they were 9-3. They end up firing him anyway. If Tennessee had been 9-3, you would have signed off on him staying at Alabama through the end of the year.
Not really, but I wouldn't have been.
So it doesn't really matter.
Don't cut me off because I can see when you're trying to trap me. You ain't gonna be able to trap me, Smith.
I don't have to do anything.
It's not the same thing. It's not.
I just told you said it. It's okay. We got to take a quick timeout. Chad Withrow, 104.5, The Zone in Nashville, is going to join when we continue on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Stay with us. It's The Drive. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio coming to you live this afternoon from Old Ben Franklin Motors in West Knoxville, where they have the new Mitsubishi Outlander Hybrid. You get 74 miles per gallon. This is a SUV, a huge cargo capacity. Unbelievable. 74 miles per gallon on this thing. You got the MSRP set at $42,000. $42,000 SUV, folks. The purchase options on it are unbelievable when you get a $12,000 discount off of addendum, plus you receive a $7,500 tax credit. So you've got that option for you if you want to buy one. And then the lease option might be even better. You're talking about a $0 down payment, nothing. And then $358 per month for the new Mitsubishi Outlander Hybrid. And then that's a 36-month, 3-year lease option. Get you 15,000 miles per year, plenty of mileage to do whatever you want in it without worrying about going over the miles there. And again, only $358 per month to lease one of these things. It's unbelievable deals here at Old Ben Franklin Motors. Call them at 693-9315 to hear more, or just come on down to 9711 Kingston Pike, right across from the Chop House. It's a beautiful day to take a test drive here at Old Ben. So, getting some other examples now. David Cutcliffe did leave Tennessee for Ole Miss before Tennessee played the national championship game. So there's that precedent. That was almost 20 years beforehand. And I imagine we would, I don't know, would we feel any differently towards Cutcliffe if we ended up losing the national championship? It didn't end up hurting us that much, as Randy Sanders was able to step in his first game, the national championship, and performed well enough to win. But that would have been one of those awful what ifs. What if David
Cutcliffe? Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, at the time, do you remember us being that upset about it at the time?
No, I remember it a lot. I remember, of course, you know, I was 18 then. I was listening to sports radio instead of participating. And there was a lot of, it was a little bit of a nervy situation, but the general feeling was, look, Sanders, first of all, it's Philip Fulmer's offense. Between Fulmer and Sanders, they're going to be able to put together a game plan. They're going to kind of know what Cutcliffe would do. And I remember they scripted the first 10 or 15 plays or something like that. So they had a good plan. And you go back and watch the game, I never at any point felt like our play calling was holding. We only scored 23 points in the ball game, and there was a pick six in there. I never remember feeling like we were not getting the job done from a play calling standpoint in that game.
No, and I mean, you know, we weren't. I mean, throughout that year, I mean, we didn't. I mean, we won a lot of games like that, didn't we?
Yeah.
We beat Syracuse on a last minute field goal. We beat the hell out of Georgia that year. We had a lot of close games, and it was a national championship game against, you know, Florida State. You know, that was a solid Florida State defense. All those guys played in the pros.
Well, and as we've – yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. They were nasty defense. And as we've talked about a lot the past couple of weeks, it's just it was a different game back then. You could go into a game expecting, well, if we score 23 points, we can win the game. You probably don't go into a national championship game anymore in a college football playoff game thinking, oh, if we score 23 points, we're probably going to win this game. You got to score in the 40s anymore just because the rules have changed and everything favors the offense now. And that's something that, quite frankly, right now, Tennessee is probably struggling with a little bit to adapt to the modern game, at least with our current quarterback situation.
Did Trey, I meant to ask you, didn't say anything about it in the Rocky Top report. How did the quarterback snap? Was there any word on how they got split up?
Yeah. I mean, it was JG1 and Bailey and Maurer. Well, let me rephrase that. JG1, Maurer, then Bailey. So Maurer and Bailey splitting the twos. And you have to remember that little Monday night thing that they did practice, it was Maurer and Bailey getting the one reps. And I think that was just for, you know, getting them as much as they can. But, you know.
Do you fully expect Garantano to start at Arkansas right now?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's starting at Arkansas.
Oh. All right.
Well, having trouble getting connected with Chad Withrow in Nashville, so I guess we will go ahead and open up the G3 Help Me hotlines once again. If you want to go ahead and jump in, take a shot, 865-546-8200, your number to get on board, 546-8200, if you want to jump in. And I was going to save this for later, but let's go ahead and get into it. Ty Simpson, the four-star quarterback from Martin, Tennessee, with the five-star offer list. Class of 2022, right? So he's a high school junior, and Tennessee's been recruiting him. He really likes Tennessee. He's been here several times for games this year. He's been rumored to be coming back for the rest of Tennessee's home games. Really likes Winkie, really likes Jim Chaney. And he says he's a four-star quarterback with a five-star offer list. Clemson really wants him. Bama really wants him. Oklahoma really wants him. So if you want to stargaze, you can stargaze, but that offer list is elite. Now, Trey, there's some rumor going around, and I don't know. I've never talked to the kid or anybody around his recruitment, that he might be looking at reclassifying and coming to school next year, a la the kid from South Carolina who transferred, who beat us. I can't remember.
Jake Bentley.
Jake Bentley, exactly. Come to school early. What do you think? Is this likely? First of all, is it a thing that could actually end up happening? And B, is that something we want to happen?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to act like I'm some recruiting guru who's spoken with Type Simpson, but I have heard that from a couple people, you know, in Tennessee. Not saying that he is, not saying that he isn't, but that there are other schools that are pitching that idea to him. And if that's the case, I first off, I think that's a dumb thing. You know, second off, a lot of times I don't take it seriously when somebody from the 2022 class commits like right now, because they've got a whole nother year of this recruiting cycle stuff. It's just like the Texas quarterback the other day, the 2022 kid, number one quarterback in the nation. He decommits from Texas, and now all of a sudden it looks like he's going to Ohio State. So it's like anything can change, and this kid's still a year and a half away from enrolling in college. So
yeah.
I don't know, man. That would be a tricky spot.
Okay, so I have mixed feelings on it. First of all, I always like, man, we rush kids so much these days. Like, you're a great high school player. Have your senior year. Enjoy yourself, man. Set records and all that stuff. But from a fan's perspective, and if you're Jeremy Pruitt and the staff's perspective, I'm not so sure. I don't want to just go ahead and get him in the fold as quickly as possible. If he's really that good, and if you are planning on making a quarterback change next year, you might as well bring him in and let him compete for the job. Now, I look at it and say, what happens next year? And maybe this is a good problem to have, but if you have Harrison Bailey or Caden Salter, or Maurer or Schrout, we don't know. If somebody finally steps up and takes that job next year and displays and plays well, then does that hurt your chances with Ty Simpson if he stays for his senior year in high school? You see what I'm talking about? You might be better off just going ahead, and if you think he's that great a prospect, just go ahead and get him on campus, start his clock, even if he's too young to start next year. At least you've got him learning, and maybe eventually he can take the reins.
I don't disagree, but I also think that would get really weird with number 15 on campus right now, right? And then also Caden Salter coming in from Texas, right?
It would, but if you're Jeremy Pruitt and the seat is starting to get warm, and you're Jim Chaney, and people are growing disenchanted with you, and poor Chris Winkie. I mean, people have been disenchanted with him since day one. If you're in that situation, I don't think you can worry about hurting anybody's feelings. First of all, you got to find somebody who can win, and the more choices, the better. You get them on campus. Jim Chaney knows what a good quarterback looks like. Pick the best one, and I say go ahead and play him, even if you got to take your lumps with a guy who's a true freshman, whether that's Salter or Simpson. And I'm not ruling out Bailey, obviously. But I just don't know that they can afford to wait. They need to have good quarterback play. They need to have it now. It doesn't look like that's going to happen, but they certainly need to have it by this time next year. And the other thing, I mean, if you're worried about hurting their feelings or lying to a recruit or anything like that, they're going to have the one-time free transfer this next year. So if Ty Simpson or Caden Salter come in and, hey, this isn't what was promised, I thought I was going to be the guy, now the other guy's the guy, and it doesn't look like I have any path to the playing field unless the guy gets hurt, well, he can leave and not have to sit out. He can go wherever he wants at that point. So I wouldn't feel too badly about it if I were Tennessee.
I'm right there with you. Look around the country. Look at all the other schools with four stars that are backed behind. You know what I'm getting at.
No idea who might be the best out of those three. It might be Bailey. It might be Salter. It might be Ty Simpson. I'm just thinking about it from Tennessee's perspective, and if I'm Jeremy Pruitt, I want as many good options as I can, because they don't always hit. But if you can get all three of those, I mean, surely one of those guys is a great quarterback. It wouldn't be surprised. I don't think anybody, if one of them was a bust, JG was a five-star after all coming out of high school, and he hasn't lived up to the hype, but surely we wouldn't strike out on three guys within 2 years. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say that out loud. Let's take a quick timeout. Let's take a quick break. The Drive continues live from Old Ben Franklin Motors in West Knoxville. Back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Hey, Tennessee. Sports betting is almost here, and FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you an exclusive offer to get started. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving users $50 in free bets just...
I got a lot of nice girls.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell, Barron, Trey, Cruz along with you on a Friday afternoon edition of the show. Taking your phone calls today at 865-546-8200. So we had to try to reschedule with Withrow. So we're going to go here to the top of the hour. Go ahead and throw out your Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day. With Withrow coming up at 4:15 now. And this is going to be a good one. Bear, Halloween. This was Trey's idea. It's a good one. What is the game or play that still gives you nightmares?
The game or play.
Game or play that still gives you nightmares, even all these years later.
Wow. Game and play, or just one or the other?
Either. I could do, and I'll let you think about
this. I could do a game and a play real easily.
Are you going to say Gaffney?
No, Lord, no. Game would be the 2001 SEC Championship game. When the world got turned on its end and Nick Saban stole Phil Fulmer's mojo. And then the play, without a doubt, I can't remember exactly what year Clawson handed off. We were getting ready to go in and score right before halftime to go up on Georgia. And they fumbled the ball, and
Thomas Brown ran it back.
Yeah, I blocked his name out.
Thomas Davis.
Yankee player from Georgia ran it back all the way.
Well,
what year was that? Was that 03?
02 or 03, yeah.
It would have had to have been 03. 01 was here.
I could name you one from the Alabama series pretty much every year from 1995.
Oh, yeah. I mean, which one?
The blocked field goal.
Your personal dream in the field goal game?
Down the field, and Philip Doyle ends up kicking the game winner for them. 93, David Palmer running around the end. Still gives
the
me tie. Nightmares to this day.
I mean,
What about the interception, Bear?
Which one?
The 2004 interception against LSU, Ainge.
Oh, 2007?
2007, yeah, I was at that game, yeah.
I mean, by that time, we had been so conditioned to doing stuff like that. Post 2001, nothing really surprised me, I guess. That Georgia play did.
The hobnail.
The hit on down at Florida, Russ, when God, who was it? Joey Kent.
Yeah.
Forgot to put his mouthpiece in. Almost bit his tongue off.
Yeah, I can't remember that guy's name. Lawrence was the guy who hit him. All right, let's not take them all. Let's leave some for callers. 865-546-8200 to your Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Smoking hot question, the play in the game that still gives you nightmares no matter how long ago it's been. Rickard Ridge Barbecue telling you folks, tomorrow be a great opportunity, no Tennessee game, be a great opportunity to go up to Cove Lake State Park, Rickard Ridge Barbecue. It is a beautiful place. The leaves are turning. I cannot imagine what a scene it will be like tomorrow at Cove Lake State Park. Just about a 25-minute drive up I-75 from downtown Knoxville. You take exit 134, and you can't miss it. And you'll see Cove Lake as you get off the exit there, and then it's your first left right in there. Rickard Ridge Barbecue. going up there, take the family or go by yourself. You can go and you know, sit out on the deck there and take in the views while you have some barbecue, you have some ribs, you have some pork sandwich, some fall off the bone smoked chicken thighs. It is all delicious at Rickard Ridge Barbecue. So go on up there and tell them we sent you. They'll take great care of you up there at Rickard Ridge this weekend. Or you can just get takeout and you go up there, call ahead, and go pick up your order and take it home while you watch some games tomorrow as well. Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Outstanding. Are you a Leaf keeper, Russ?
So I...
Russell? We lose Russ?
I don't know, Barry.
Are you a Leaf keeper,
Trey? Go ahead, Trey. I'm having trouble hearing Bear. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. No, we were Bear, I was going to bring up a game to you that might haunt. It's the anniversary this weekend, Bear, and it doesn't have anything to do with the SEC. It is the anniversary of the Michigan State punt debacle against Michigan.
Oh, no, I love that. I thought it was incredible.
Sean McDonough's voice. Sean McDonough's voice when he messes up that punt and oh my God, they scored a touchdown! Fantastic!
I loved it when McDonough's voice is breaking up as he's making the call.
Yeah, and they don't realize that the player that scored the touchdown, his hip is dislocated at the bottom of the pile.
Ooh,
man. How do you remember this stuff? It's all coming back to me now. Hey, stay with us. Hour number two of the drive coming up. Bears got your top four at four when we continue. More of your phone calls as well. We're live this afternoon at Old Ben Franklin Motors, 9711 Kingston Pike. Stay with us. Hour number two coming up.
The Live.